It is good to be with you guys on this Sunday to worship with you. It's awesome. Thank you so much for coming out and being a part of what's happening here on a Sunday morning. We are in the series called Money Wise, and next week Pastor Wayne will be back. He'll finish it up, and we're getting close to the holiday season, which is pretty crazy. Anybody listening to Mariah Carey's Christmas album yet? Can we please just wait till Thanksgiving, please? Just put it away. It comes out once a year. Thank you. Over there, I see you. Let's just wait till Thanksgiving at least. Maybe even till the day before Christmas, maybe. So we're going to talk a little bit about generosity today. I have this story that I remembered as I was prepping for today. I shared a room with my younger brother until I was about 14 years old, and he's 2 years younger than me. I have two older siblings, but my younger brother and I, we shared a room from the time we were really little, I think age 4 and 2, all the way up to 14 and 12. Anybody in here share a room with a sibling growing up? Yeah, so that's like comes with all sorts of fun, enjoyable late nights and conversations that were happening. But when I was when we were really little, in one particular house we lived in, we had this piggy bank that was in the shape of a football, and it was a big plastic thing. And I remember being a little kid asking my parents for loose change, spare change. I don't know, anyone have a dad growing up who just jingled the pocket change like while he was standing, you know, kind of whatever. But if I saw loose change or whatever, I would ask for it, or we would get some as an allowance or something, and I would put it in this piggy bank. Both my brother and I did, and it filled up. It was pretty heavy, too heavy for me to lift as a little guy. But we decided that we wanted to break it open and spend the money on something. And my parents, you know, just wisely taught us how to save, and then said yes to us breaking it open and using the money because they wanted to teach us a lesson on, like, don't spend it all in one place. And of course we did spend it all in one place. Like, I went to the toy store and just used it all. I was probably 8 years old at the time this story. So we broke it open. My mom went to the bank. She got those paper coin rolls and taught us how to, you know, with pennies, dimes, nickels, quarters and stuff, roll it into those quarters, and we'll take it to the bank and cash it in for some dollar bills. And at the end, it was probably like $55 in change, which is pretty fun as an 8-year-old. So we split that, my brother and I, and we came up with the decision that we were going to split it right down the middle before we even started this process, because it just felt like the fair thing to do. But when we got to the end, after rolling all of the coins into these paper coin rolls, we had a quarter and a dime left over. And you can imagine, two boys sharing a room, competitive, what do you suppose we had to debate? Who was going to get the quarter and who was going to get the dime? Because from an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old perspective, like a quarter and a dime, like those were really big deals. So we decided to take the high road. Instead, what we did was we got out some construction paper and we wrote a letter to my mom. And here's what it said. I remember it very clearly. I want to make sure I read it right. I just lost it in my notes. Yep, there it is. Dear Mom, we wrote out, we love you. We are glad you are our mom. We have this quarter and dime left over that we didn't know what to do with, so we're giving it to you. And we taped it to the construction paper. I remember it very clearly. I mean, the saying, it's the thought that counts, barely applies to a situation like this, because it wasn't out of our abundance that we gave our mom some money. It wasn't out of our faith in God that we gave mom our money. It wasn't out of gratitude, really. I think my brother and I were just trying to avoid a fight, like, over this quarter and this dime. And so we're like, well, we have some left over that we clearly can't split, so let's give it away. So I'll ask you to just think with me about this story. Was the card that we gave her and the quarter and dime generous? Not really, right? Like, it was just the leftovers that we had. Everything else that we could split evenly, we kept for ourselves because we wanted it. But we just gave her whatever was left over. And I was thinking about that story for this morning, because we're going to talk about generosity, and we're going to talk about generosity from a heart focus and what we can do as people to be more generous. Now, I know what you're thinking. If you're thinking anything that I'm thinking, when a guy gets up on a platform and says the word generosity, you're thinking he's about to ask me for something. And a lot of times that ends up being true. And if you're sitting in your seat thinking, I don't know if I agree with him or not, I'm actually going to prove that to you. I was thinking about this whole idea of generosity and talking about it this morning. You might be like me. Like, did you ever see Return of the Jedi? the Star Wars movie, right? And Admiral Akbar, do you remember the iconic line that he says in the Battle of Endor? It's a trap, right? Like, so anytime someone in church says the word generosity, I mean, sometimes I'm like, oh, this is a trap. What are they going to ask me for? Honey, did you bring the checkbook? But we do that on lots of different levels. So for example, if you're thinking like, no, that's fine, we can talk about generosity, we receive all sorts of opportunities in our life to be generous, not only just with our money, but with our time. But for example, have you ever received a letter that started off like this? Hi, I wanted to tell you about this great opportunity for me to serve the Lord overseas. Immediately, you know what's coming next. Can we just skip to the end? Like, how much do you want? It's going to cost $2,000. Okay, here's 50. I don't know. You know, we all receive things like that at different times. Even though this series is called Money Wise, we can be generous with more than just our money, but our time as well. Have you ever received a text from someone that said, hey man, we're closing on that new house this Friday. You know what's coming next? Can you help me move? Yes. So generosity with our time. How many of you have ever been in church and heard a sermon on serving that didn't end with, if you aren't serving, we have tables in the lobby that you can go visit after the service right outside those doors, right? And you don't really have to worry about what's going to come next when someone on a platform talks about generosity. But trust me, I'm not going to ask you for anything this morning. I'm not going to ask you to go to a table. I'm not going to ask you to give anything monetarily. But I am asking for your heart today. I'm asking you to just open up your heart to God and let Him test it to see if there is anything inside of you that is resistant to those opportunities in your life where God is calling you to be generous. And by generous, we mean just giving over and above what might be a normal amount. And so generosity related to money, generosity in the area of time, all I'm asking for today is that you be open in your heart before God to say, if there is any resistance or aversion to generosity in my life, whether it be financial, whether it be with time, whether it be relationships, whatever it might be, open that up to God and spend your week this week just evaluating, am I the type of generous person that God wants me to be? Now, why would I encourage you to let God move the needle of your heart? Well, because I think it's important and I think it matters. And up here on the slide behind me, you'll see two reasons why I think opening our hearts to God in this area or the specifically the area of generosity matters. Because number one, our generosity, it's an expression of our faith in God. The ways that we are generous oftentimes come from or are a result of where our heart is with the Lord. Number two, our generosity puts us in a position to be used by God, which is a really cool thought. And we're going to end with a story about that this morning. And when you're used by God or put in a position where you're used by God, it's often in a way to advance whatever God wants to advance in the world around you, which is pretty amazing to think about partnering with God in such an amazing work of advancing the kingdom of Christ. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about generosity and try to bridge the two testaments, Old Testament and New Testament, together, because they talk about generosity and giving a little bit different. And so in the Old Testament, we see this framework of thinking about generosity from a results-based type of mindset. This giving and then this proportionate blessing or result that comes from that. And so we've been reading some Proverbs these last couple weeks, and so we're going to start there. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. You'll see the verse up on the screen behind me, and I'll read it out loud. The author writes, "One gives freely, yet grows all the richer." And so you see a very clear description of give, receive, give, receive. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Now, a plain reading of this proverb, of this verse, it seems to indicate that a person who gives generously receives generously in blessing from God. One action leads to a comparable return. And so It feels very results-based sometimes when you're reading the Old Testament and you see examples of give in this way and you will receive in this way. And we like that as humans, right? Because we like returns on our investment. We like knowing that if we're going to give $50 to something, or if we're going to give, you know, or we're going to invest our time in something, that it's going to end up being a use of that money or a use of that time to some good end. And as humans, we kind of gravitate towards verses like these because it's clear, it's actionable, we can understand it. If I give, I will receive. And it ends up being this results-based type of thinking when it comes to our hearts and generosity. Here's another verse, Malachi 3, and this is one of the most well-known Old Testament verses on giving and tithe and generosity. Malachi 3, the prophet writes, God speaking through the prophet, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to test, says the Lord of hosts. And see," I'm going to add those words, "and see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." Now, that was given specifically to a group of people that were God's people seeking to form a nation in the world out of a nation that didn't currently exist, or at least was still trying to figure out who they were, going back and forth with their faith and their lack of faith with God. Now, at this point, God was trying to build a nation, and so tremendous amounts of blessings were required in the area of land and crops and economy and fill in the blank with all the other things. But the Lord didn't just want to rain down blessing on Israel for nothing. What did he want in return? Faithful people. He wanted people who were following him. He wanted people who were obedient to his commands and his calls. He wanted people to do the things that he was instructing them to do by walking out what he was explaining was his best for their life. And so the blessings that came, when we see in the different places in the Old Testament, we see that oftentimes those blessings came as a result of someone who was walking out God's best faithfully. We see that generosity or giving, and particularly abundant giving, is always an act of faith. Faithfully, the people would bring their tithe and their sacrifices to God. Faithfully, God would respond by blessing and turning around and giving to the people. God pretty clearly sets that up. We don't have time to read all that is in chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, but if you take a look at Deuteronomy 28 at some point in your week ahead, because it basically is the entire chapter, Deuteronomy 28, you see that there is a very clear blessing and curse on the land of Israel based on their faithful obedience to him. And so when you read, you see you faithful people, God is their only God, giving what God has required or calling them to give. It produces all of this blessing on the land and the livestock and their economy. But then the vice versa happens, where if they're not faithful, if they worship other gods, then there's a curse on the land. And sometime this week, if you want to read a little bit more about that, you can take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. And you'll see this really clear blessing for obedience, this results-based type of interaction when it comes to generosity. Now, like I've already said, if God's people give generously, it's an act of faith always to righteously give to God. It's an act of faith. But also, if God's people give generously, God responds by advancing his work among the people. Now, does that mean if you give $10 to the preacher man on TV, you will get rich? Probably not. Let's think about America for a second, the land we live. If America's residents, the population of America, if America's going to flourish or be cursed, is it going to be based on the faithfulness of God's people? That one's a hard one to answer and to wrestle with. It kind of depends on what framework we're approaching this conversation by. Now, if we were to only read Deuteronomy chapter 28, if we were to only read Malachi chapter 3, we would see and maybe even conclude that we have to do X, Y, and Z in order to receive. Wait, those are the last three letters of the alphabet. If we were to do ABC, we would receive X, Y, Z. That's probably a better way to say it, right? If we were to do ABC, we would receive X, Y, and Z blessing that would come from God. You know what? I don't really know how to answer those types of questions because America's not Israel, but God deeply cares about America because His kingdom is here. His people live here. Followers of Jesus are here among us doing the work of advancing the kingdom through the gospel of Christ. So absolutely God cares about our country, and He cares about all the countries that He has made where He has planted people. But what we see, we're going to bridge the testaments here in just a second. What we see in the Old Testament is giving and giving abundantly is oftentimes an act of faith on the people. God gives an instruction and they walk out God's best by giving according to what He wants. And we also see God promising to return some comparable blessing based on the gift that they were giving. So, the Old Testament, out of this abundant faith, I believe, as an act of faith, we also get to partner with God in the work of His mission in the world. Gospel work of advancing the kingdom of Christ through our generosity. Not only is our generosity an act of faith, but our generosity also puts us in a position where we can partner with God, be used by God, be an instrument of God in a moment where He wants to complete a work that He already started. Do you want to partner with God by faith in completing the work that He's began around you? Do you? I do. And sometimes in my flesh, I resist. Why? Probably because my faith is weak. Probably because I think about material things more than I should. Why do I lack? Probably because of a selfish perspective. Why? Because I think there's not going to be enough. Why? Because I have a scarcity mindset some days. Why don't I partner with what God is doing in the world around me through the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because I sin sometimes. And I think as a church together, when we begin to open up our hearts to God in the area of generosity, we need to open our hearts and let God test it to see if there is anything that is in you and I that would be preventing us from, by faith, giving and giving generously according to how God wants us to give, and testing our hearts to see if there's anything inside of us that would be preventing us from being on board with what God is trying to advance in the world around us. You want to be a part of what God is doing in the world. Generosity is a part of that work. And it's based in the heart. Now let's bridge the testaments here. Come to the New Testament. We're going to read from Mark chapter 12. And this story is about a widow who comes to the temple to give her offering or her tithe. And Jesus makes some observations here. Jesus is people watching in this moment. The context is He was teaching and then He sat down, take a break from teaching, and He's looking. He's watching what's going on around Him. And He points out a few things to some disciples who are nearby. Starting in verse 41, He sat down opposite the treasury and He watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came, put in two small copper coins, which makes about a penny. It's about 2 cents if you were to calculate that into today's terms. He called His disciples to Him and He said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance," He says. "But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had and all that she had to live on." This story hits me in a couple ways. It makes me feel sad because her life is hard. It makes me feel insecure about my own life because I don't know if I would do the same thing. And it makes me kind of feel like maybe the people who are around perhaps judging her a little too harshly through their human perspective. Here's what I mean by that. Even though she gave what was a small amount of money, without any context about where she came from, the situation of her family, or the circumstances about how she got there, without any context of that, it would be really easy as a human being in the flesh to judge a person who comes here on a Sunday morning. Now, just hear me out on this. As a human being, we're just flawed, right? We just don't see things the way God sees them. We're not currently passing the offering plate right now. We have these receptacles spread out all around, like right outside those doors, right as you leave the door, whatever. If you want to bring your offering, please do it. But it would be really easy as a human being, and you know yourself, you're human, you're judgmental, and we sometimes don't always think the best of people. If the person next to us dropped 2 pennies in the offering plate, what are some of the things that we could be thinking about them? Well, is that all? 2 pennies? You couldn't do any better than that? You could probably find 2 pennies in the parking lot on your way through the door, right? It would be easy as a human being to be judgmental. And Jesus knew that. That's why he spent so much time sitting and pointing things out with his disciples, because there was an education that needed to be involved in this moment. And so he's sitting with them, pointing things out. It would be easy for them to be like, you know, like these guys are coming in, putting bags of money, and here she comes in, putting 2 cents in. On the flip side, let's say you're trying to think optimistically about the situation. Let's say you know some of the context about this woman's situation, and you think, you know what? Her situation is hard. She lost her husband. It would totally make sense that she would want to hold on to as much as she could. You could think that as well. It would totally make sense that she should be careful with how much she has and how much she spends. And that would, who would judge a person for thinking that about this woman, right? But Jesus, he doesn't see either of those situations. Those are ways that we look at the context of what other people do around us. Jesus, he points out what man overlooks. See, the size of her gift didn't matter to God. It was her heart behind the gift. It was proportionally the situation that she had to give. God doesn't look at the outward, he looks at the inward. God sees the humble gift of this generous giver according to her means. God knew that proportionally to what she had, this woman was making an enormous sacrifice. And God was pointing out to the people, like, look, it's not always coming down to the size of your gift that matters. God's looking at the heart. And so, am I a Christian with a generous heart proportionally to what I've been given? Are you a Christian with a generous heart proportionally to what you've been given? You see, generosity, we want to make it about giving and receiving. We want to make it results-based. We want to know that if we're going to give $50 to somebody's missions trip, that they're going to go and they're going to do the best work possible. Sometimes that's our human perspective, but in other ways, we need to, by faith, give when opportunities are presented to us to give. And we need to give as an act of faith, believing that God is calling us to give in moments where he's trying to advance some work of his kingdom. And when we give, here's the cool part about it. We participate in God completing or accomplishing some work on earth that he wants to fulfill or complete. It's an act of the heart. It's an act of faith. And we give generously with our money, with our time and our relationships, with an open hand and an open heart to what God wants to do. Our generosity is an expression of our faith. But continuing to bridge the two testaments, here's the last verses that I'll read. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Our generosity has God's backing as well. Which is great is, Paul outlines this perspective here in 2 Corinthians that helps the reader see and understand that when you participate in God's ministry of advancing the gospel in the world, he's behind it and will advance what he wills. Let's take a look at this. The results are pretty amazing. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 6. This is Paul writing, and again, the context is gospel advancing work and ministry. He says this, point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now, let me pause there for a sec. What I love about that line is, Paul, in his wisdom, by the inspiration, guided by the Holy Spirit, goes back into the Old Testament and frames what he's about to say according to what they knew. According to, test me and see if I will not fill your storehouses. According to, give generously and you will become rich. According to this framework of thinking that they knew, they understand, and they were memorizing from the time they were little and young. And he bridges that into something different. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now here's where he bridges it. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, For God loves a cheerful giver. He takes it down away from an amount. He takes it away from a specific size, a specific way. And he says, God is looking for his people to give and give cheerfully. God is looking not for a $50 check to a missions trip or a specific amount of time given to X ministry, whatever that might be, but God is looking for his people to be generous. And here's where we see in verse 11, you will be enriched, he says. Blessed. Is it blessed with crops, does he say? Blessed with money in return, does he say? No, doesn't say any of that. Blessed with a great economy, does he say? No, he says, in every way, to be generous in every way. Here's the result, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. He's talking about sharing the gospel. And go back and read 2 Corinthians chapter 9 this week. I know I've given you two assignments. That's kind of great, right? Because there's 6 days in between Sunday to Sunday. So, you know, that's 2 out of 6. Go back and read chapter 9. In verse 11, you see, it indicates it is more blessed to give than to receive. That it's not about the return on the investment comparable to what we have given. We give cheerfully. We give out of an abundance. We give because it is a generous thing to do. In chapter 9, this attitude of gospel ministry is pretty amazing, because for those of us who live here and now, as Christians, we get to participate in what God is doing in advancing the kingdom of Christ every time we share the gospel with others. And sometimes sharing the gospel includes or involves giving money to things. Sometimes sharing the gospel and advancing the kingdom of Christ in the community that we live in involves our time. Giving our time to something that is important, that is going to produce disciples of Jesus Christ. I believe that if God's people will open their hearts to pursue God's best and live a life of generosity, then the recipients of that generosity, as Paul says here in verse 11, will result in thanksgiving and praise to God. Excuse me. That was a terrible time to lose my voice, but I feel really good about this. If God's people would live in such a way where by faith they would give generously, the result's going to be praise. The result's going to be people coming to faith in Jesus. The result's going to be more people in the kingdom of Christ who are exalting Jesus as God. How cool is that? And it's an act of faith. It's a work of the heart. And so when I said earlier, tomorrow, Monday, wake up tomorrow, open your heart to God, ask him, say, God, test my heart, see if there is anything in me that is preventing me from living generously according to how you want, because by faith, I want to participate in what you're doing in this world. By faith, I want to give what I can when I'm given the opportunity to give. By partnership with the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want to go where you're calling me to go. I want to participate in the things that you're doing. I want to help be a part of the solutions to things that people are praying for. But to do that, we have to give generously in every way, and through it produces thanksgiving to God, which is pretty awesome. So your generosity, it could result in someone else's praise and answered prayer. I heard a story this week, and I'm going to ask Courtney to come up. She's my friend. She's one of our awesome youth leaders and small group leaders and ministers to the teenagers here at church. And a couple days ago, she shared a story with me that I thought just really perfectly illustrated this point of being open to God and being generous when he gives the opportunity. And who better to tell it than her, than me, right?
Okay, so Pastor James Grayson, he is currently leading a church in North Carolina, but prior to that, him and his wife were missionaries in Italy. They were serving full-time in Italy. And one evening while they're in Italy, they were hosting a dinner, and his wife was busy getting the dinner together, and she realized that she had forgotten a few things. So she sent her husband, Pastor James, to the store to grab what they were missing for their dinner. And as he pulled up to the store, got out of his car, there was another man in the parking lot. And as he walked past him, God told him, go into the store and get that man whatever he needs from the grocery store. So he walked past him, and he's like, not today, God. Like, I need to get these things for my wife. I need to get back to her. Like, we have time. We have guests coming over. Like, I don't have time to go through the whole store and get this man whatever he needs from the grocery store. So he walked right past him, went into the store, and he's going around collecting what he needed for his wife. And it just, he could not stop thinking about this man in the parking lot. And so he was reaching down to grab something that he needed for his wife. And he prayed in his head. He said, okay, God, if you want me to buy this man whatever he needs, bring him into the store, and then I will get him whatever he needs. And he stood up from picking up the item, and that man was standing in the aisle right next to him at the grocery store. So he was like, okay, so I'll do it. So he goes up to the man. He says, I don't know if you know Jesus, but God has told me to purchase whatever you need from this store. And the man was quiet, and he was pretty shy, but they went around and collected the things that he needed, and they checked out at the end. And as he's walking out to the parking lot, the man starts talking to him, and he says, you know, I'm a Christian, and a few months ago I was laid off of work, and my family and I last night ate the last bit of food that we had in our house, and this morning I woke up and I realized that I had 20 cents. And I was praying to God, asking him, how are you going to provide for my family? I have 20 cents. We have no food left in our house. How are you going to provide the food to eat for me and my family? And as he was praying, God told him to go to this specific grocery store with his 20 cents. And it turns out that this grocery store that God was telling him to go to was an hour bike ride from his house. So he got on his bike. He rode an hour to the grocery store. And then was walking around the grocery store for 40 minutes with his 20 cents in his hand, praying again, God, how are you going to provide? I have 20 cents. I'm in this grocery store an hour away from my house. How are you going to provide for me? And he walked around for 40 minutes and then finally walked out of the store. And as he walked out and was in the parking lot, that's when Pastor James pulled up in his car, got out of his car, walked past him, and God told the man, follow that man into the grocery store. He will get you what you need.
Amazing. Yeah, you can just thank her for coming up. It's Courtney's birthday today. You can say happy birthday to her on the way out the door. And who better to tell that story than have her come up and do that? It was awesome. But that story, when I heard it, struck me in such a way because a prayer went up and then a call went up. And those two met each other by the work of God, and that God accomplished what he wanted to do in that man's life. Actually, in both of those men's life, right? So there was a need, and then there was an obedience that needed to take place. And I believe generosity is exactly that. And so if you're not generous, then you're missing out on those opportunities when God is calling you to be the answer to somebody else's prayer. And so if we don't open up our hearts and let God test us and see if there's any resistance to generosity that exists inside of us, we need to be ready and free and open-handed and in a right relationship with him in those moments, because here is where a prayer went up and through this other man, a blessing came down. And that's the work of God accomplishing what he wills and what he wants in the world. Do you want to participate in that? Yes. Do we want to just sit on the sidelines and watch it happen in somebody else's life from a distance? No, that's boring. It's better as a Christian to walk out this life in partnership with what God wants to do. So as needs arise, as prayers go up, God's got a whole bunch of people ready to just be generous to answer those needs or resolve those needs or to answer those prayers. We made you aware of a few things happening recently, like right now, and we're going to promote all month, Hope Rescue Mission. The staff and the men at Hope Rescue Mission are praying, Lord, how am I going to get through this? Lord, how are we going to end the year? Lord, how am I going to get back on my feet, find a job, get a house, all of this stuff? Your generosity is the answer to those men's prayer. And the staff at Hope Rescue Mission who are praying, we need to get through another year. Our partnership church in Haiti is praying, how are we going to survive this? Your gifts to the team that's going and sustaining that partnership from years to come is an answer to their prayer. It's a partnership in what God is seeking to accomplish in the world. You want to participate in that? Yes. You want to be left out of that? Absolutely not. Not as a Christian, not as a follower of Jesus. So we have to open up our hearts to him. And remember that giving is always an act of faith. And so if your faith is weak, open your heart to God right now. Maybe start tomorrow morning. Maybe you can do it right when you go home from church. Say, Lord, test me and reveal to the areas where my heart is withholding what you want me to do. There is a blessing that comes when we are generous to others. We can't control it. God wills it. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than receive. And so we walk that out as best as we can. And when we do, we end up being put in a position where we are being used by God to advance what He wants to advance in our community. It's great. It is better to be generous than not. Let's pray. Why don't you stand? Lord, thank you for the opportunities that we're given to be generous, whether they be in the grocery store, whether they be Sunday morning in church, whether they be receiving a letter or a text message, whether it be with our time in the ways that we serve the ministries of our local churches and the ministries of our city and abroad. I pray that you would help us as a Christian people to be as generous as possible, to not allow there to be anything in us that would hold us back from accomplishing the work that you want to do or answering another person's prayer just because we weren't ready for it or we weren't prepared for it or that our hearts weren't open to it or that our hands weren't turned up ready to do what you want to do through us. And I pray for this awesome crew of people in this room this morning as we go out and spread out this week in our workplaces, our neighborhoods, our schools, and church ministries, and all over this community that we live in. I pray that you would help us to be generous, understanding that it has your backing, knowing that it is an act of faith every time we are, and being ready to be used by you in the moment when it's called. And God, I pray that some people in our community would lift up their thanksgiving to you as a result of receiving the blessing that has come through obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. We'll see you back next Sunday. Take care.